By way of announcement, the meetings are going very well in Australia. Everybody's doing well. So continue to pray for Greg. I know there's more meetings scheduled for this week, but I think they've been averaging around 40. You know, a lot of guests being invited, so pray the Lord will continue to bless what's going on there. So anyway, let's go ahead and open up the service to hardback number 125, Jesus Paid It All. If you could please stand, number 125.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
You may be seated.
I have tunnel vision, and the tunnel vision getting less and less to see. I'm almost at the point where I can't read. I'm going to try to use this thing this morning. If it quits on me, I'll want to apologize beforehand. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes 3 and 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Because that which befalleth the sons of man befalleth beasts. Every one thing befalleth them both. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, because all is vanity. All shall go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? The only one that can bring us to see what's after us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is vanity, but Christ is salvation. That which has been, like Todd said, is right now. And that which is right now is forever. Whatever God does is forever. Father, we come before you this morning, Father, wanting to know, Father, more about you, more about the Lord, more about salvation. Father, we ask that you'd open our hearts and our minds to the Scriptures, that you'd be with Todd as he brings us the Word of God, Father, that we might receive it, Father, and adhere to it. And we ask that you'd be with Greg and all of his people that went with him, Father, with Brian and Jill, with Tricia and the girls. We'd ask that you'd watch over them, Father. You'd bring them safely back to us, Father. You know, we miss them and we love them, and we'd ask that you'd give Greg the grace, Father, to bring the gospel to the people over there with liberty, Father, and we ask that you'd watch over us, Father. Take us safely home, keep us every day, bring us safely back. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to take the hymn down the back of your bulletins. You can remain seated, but we're going to sing the hymn in the back of the bulletin.
Come ye saints at bar and wonder, Jesus' matchless love adore. Sing for Sinai's awful thunder shall upon thee burst no more. Sing though sins are black and large, sing for Jesus by his death set you free from every charge, set you free from every charge. Sing though sense and carnal reason fain would stop the joyful sound. Sing and count it highest treason for a saint to hold his tongue. Sing aloud whose holy calling your election surely shows. Sing no fear a final falling, Jesus' love no changes knows. Sing for you shall heaven inherit, sing and ne'er the song be done. Sing for he alone is worthy, he our sins did all atone. Sing aloud among God's people, in your heart when all alone. Sing to Father, Son, and Spirit, one and three in one.
Dr. Paul. apologize. I didn't know services started at 10:45. I thought they started at 11. But that's your pastor's fault because he always talks about the first hour. He doesn't talk about the first 45 minutes. He talks about the first hour. So I just assumed. I assumed 11. Sorry. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 4? Verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, this is one of six times in this epistle that we read this statement, if a man say. Look in chapter 1. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we say, there's the we say again. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Look in chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 9 of the same chapter. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. And the passage in chapter 4, if a man say, I love God. Now there we have six, if we say. If we say. Now, a true believer can say all of these things truthfully. All six of these things. I say, I have fellowship with God. And I do. He speaks to me through his word. He hears me speak for Christ's sake. I have fellowship. I have communion with the God of glory, the Creator, the absolute sovereign of the universe, the one whom the heavens cannot contain, the God of glory, the living God. I have fellowship with him. Every believer has fellowship with the living God. Every believer is fit for fellowship. I've been born of the Spirit. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I have the very righteousness of God, and I can have fellowship with the living God. That's true of every believer. I can say, I have no sin. Look in 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's very true. But I can also say, every believer can say, I have no sin. Look in verse 5 of chapter 3. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Question. Did he do it? Did he do it? That's the one issue. Did he do it? Yes, he did. When he said, it is finished, every sin was taken away, and in him is no sin. That means that if I am in him, I have no sin. God looks at me. There's no sin there. There's no sin there. I'm aware of it. But that doesn't change the fact that there's nothing there. I have no sin. And look in verse 10 of chapter 1. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But I can say, if I'm a believer, I've not sinned. That's a verb. It's talking about what we actually do. I've not sinned. Look once again in chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him. What's it say next? Sinneth not. Now, remember, in him there is no sin. What's it mean to abide in him? If I told you that every joy there is in this room, and outside of this room there's nothing but pain and misery and torture, you know what you'd want to do? You'd want to stay in this room, wouldn't you? All you could possibly want, all the beauty, all that God has, all that God is in this room. All the pleasure of knowing God, all the pleasure of acceptance, everything is in this room. And outside of this room, there's nothing but hell. You know what you're going to do? You want to stay here, don't you? To abide in Christ is a conscious desire to not be anywhere else. So that when God sees me, all he sees is Jesus Christ. You abide in Christ when you don't want to be, I'm not leaving. By his grace, I want to be right. This is the only place I want to be, in Christ. That's exactly what Paul meant when he said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. When God comes looking for me, I just want to be found in Christ. I don't want him to see me in my preaching or my faith or my ethno. Just let me be seen in Christ. Now, whoever abides in him sinneth not. That's what the Bible says. I don't sin. Somebody says, well, that means you don't practice sin. You can't be honest with that passage of Scripture and say it even means that, because it doesn't. It's talking about an act. If you sin more than once, you're practicing it, aren't you? I mean, that's the practice of sin. Somebody says, you're talking about practice sin, then you're in trouble if that's what it means, and I'm in trouble. But that's not what it means. That one who abides in him sinneth not. Look in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, this thing of being born of God, God's holy. God gives birth. God gives life. He communicates life. The life of God in the soul is what the new man is. It's the life of God. Can God beget something that sins? No. It's impossible. Now look at this verse of Scripture. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, the seed of God, remains in him, and he cannot sin. The new man lacks the ability to sin because he's born of God. Now, every believer, it's hard to say it. I mean, we read it in the Scriptures, we believe it. But it says, whoso abides in him sinneth not. He does not commit sins. He cannot commit sin. He's born of God. 1 John chapter 2. Now, I can say I have fellowship with God. I can say I have no sin. If Christ took it away, I don't have it. It can't be two places at once. If he bore my sins in his own body, I don't bear them. I have no sin. I have not sinned. The new man's the real me. That's the real me. That's the it, That's that which is born of God. It does not commit sin. And look in verse 4 of chapter 2. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. But he that saith, I know him. Now this is something every believer can say. I know him. I know him. And that's not name dropping when I say I know him. He knows me. And the reason I know him is because he first knew me. Just like the reason I love him is because he first loved me. The reason I know him is because he made himself known. And I know the living God. I know him. And I love what the scripture says about Moses. The Lord stood with Moses and spake to him face to face, as a man speaketh with his friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, when I say I know him, it's not bold presumption. It's just faith. I know him. I know him. Now, I know his doctrine. And I love his doctrine. You know what? Sometimes, if you're like me, you've been afraid that all you know is doctrine. And you've wondered if you even know the living God. You're afraid all you know is doctrine. Well, let me tell you how you can know if all you know is doctrine. I'm sure of this. If you don't know that you personally are totally and completely depraved. If you don't know that, all you know is doctrine. If you know that you personally, not just the doctrine, but if you know that you personally are totally depraved, you know him. It's because he's made himself known to you. And you know him. And you know when you're hearing about him is not him. You can discern, you understand. When you hear a preacher preaching, it's not the one you know, that's not him. That's not him. I know because I know him. That's not him. That's not at all like him. Every believer knows God through Christ. I know him. Verse 9. He that saith he's in the light. He that makes this claim. I'm in the light. You know what? I am in the light. I am in the light. I understand what that light is. The Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he said that right after this woman, this poor woman, I think she'd been set up, but she was taken in adultery in the very act. And there wasn't any way you could say anything about this woman not being guilty. And these men brought her in before the Lord. I think she was set up. How did they do this physically? And they catch her in the very act and they bring her in before the Lord and throw her down there and said, tell us, Master, in mock respect, Moses in the law said that such a one should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Now they thought, we've got the Lord trapped. He can't win this argument. If he says, stone her, thought you were merciful. Thought you were gracious. If he says, let her go, well, Moses said to stone her. You don't have any respect for the law. You don't have any respect for God's commandments. They thought they had omniscience trapped. What idiots. How stupid. And the Lord just bent down and wrote on the ground. There's two times in which the finger of God wrote something in the Old Testament. One, the law. Remember the finger of God wrote the law? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And the other time, it's in Daniel chapter 5. Thou art weighed in the balances. And found wanting. I don't know what he was writing in the sand, but that's a pretty good speculation. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You brought this woman in, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And he lifted up himself and looked at them, and he said, he that is without sin, and I have no doubt that he meant without this sin. This sin. If you're without it, throw the rock. Go ahead. Get it going. And then he stooped down again. And the scripture says each man, beginning with the eldest, being convicted by his own conscience, not by the Holy Spirit. Because if he had been convicted by the Holy Spirit, he would have come to Christ for mercy. But his own conscience made him leave. And all of a sudden, the Lord is left alone with that woman, taken in the very act. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Nothing to condemn her for. Her sin had been put away. Go and sin no more. I am the light of the world. Now, I'm in the light. I know how God, the holy God, the God of the Bible, can embrace me and say, I do not condemn you. It's wholly because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in the light. And then it says in 1 John chapter 4, if a man say, I love God. Now listen to me. I do love God. Not like I should. Not like I would, not like I will, but I do love God. I love Him as He is. I love His holiness. I love His absolute justice. I love His sovereignty. I love His independence, how He has no needs. I love His wisdom, how He's made a way to be just and justify me. I love His eternality, how He never had a beginning. I love His immutability. Every attribute of God, I love. Lord knows that, if I'm being serious. I'm like Peter. Lord, You know all things. You know how weak I am. You know how contradictory I am. You know of my faults. You know all things. But You know I love Your person. I love God as He is. I love Christ as He is. I wouldn't change Him if I could. He's the only person we know that we wouldn't change. You know, I've made that statement before, and I've had people come up to me after and said, I wouldn't change you. You don't know me then. You don't know me. If you did, you'd never say anything like that. You know, you just wouldn't do it. But there is only one person would say, we don't want any change in Him. He's perfect. He's altogether. We'd really love Him as He is. Not like we want to, not like we would, not like we will. But we do love Him. Every believer loves the Lord Jesus Christ as He is. Now, a man who is saved can truly say, I have fellowship with Him. And I have no sin. And I'm not sinned. And I know Him. And I'm in the light, and I love Him. Every believer can make those statements when enabled by God the Holy Spirit to see the truth. We can make those statements. But John warns of saying, if a man says he has fellowship with Him. A lot of people make that claim. You go into every church in Apopka. You have fellowship with God? Yes, I have fellowship with God. I have communion with God. I speak with Him. He speaks to me. Yes, I have fellowship with God. Well, John says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, what does John mean by walking in darkness? If we say we have fellowship with Him, but we're walking in darkness, does that mean that you claim fellowship with Him, but in the dark, when nobody sees, you commit sins in the dark, in secret? You claim you have fellowship with Him, but you sin in the dark. Well, if that is what it means, then you won't be saved. Nor will anybody else. Is that clear? I hope it is. You know, Moses said, "Thou hast set our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Now, there's no excuse for secret sins or sins in the dark. They're awful. But if somebody says, "Well, I've dealt with those. I've got rid of..." Well, nobody believes you. I sure don't. What he's talking about is walking. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness of salvation by works, the darkness of free will, the darkness of reformed religion. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're liars. We don't have any fellowship with Him. It's all talk and nothing more. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the darkness of salvation depended in some way upon us. Look in verse 7 of chapter 1. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, that word cleanseth is in the present active. I presently, right now, need to be cleansed of my sin. Right now. And you know the only people I can have fellowship with are people who feel just like me. Birds of a feather flock together, don't they? People who see Christ as all they have and their continual need of His continual cleansing blood. We have fellowship in the gospel. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say we have fellowship, walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. Look in verse 8 of chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We've told ourselves a lie and got ourselves to believe it. Lost all credibility. The truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin. Would you turn with me for a moment to John chapter 9? John chapter 9. Verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said unto Him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin." If you could not see, now what is it when you're blind? It means you can't see. If you can't see one single reason into you as why God would have favor on you, you can't find one reason. You know what? You have no sin. But if you say, "I can see, I can see why God would have mercy on me, because I. Your sin remains. It's still there. You're still in your sin. Now, the man who can say, I have no sin, is the man who has a sinful nature right now and knows that that is all he is in and of himself. That is the only man who can say, I have no sin. Look in verse 10. If we say we've not sinned, now there the word's a verb, and it's talking about any action we do. Don't care what it is. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. Didn't God say the wickedness of man is great on earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually? Didn't God say that? Now, with regard to anything I do, I don't care what it is. Now, I know when I tell a lie, it's a sin. I know if I become angry and hate somebody, it's a sin. I mean, I know if I steal something, it's a sin. Lost man knows that. Do I know that everything I do is sin? Everything I do. Whatever it was, if I did it, it was sin. Because of who did it? Me. That's what makes it sinful. I am the problem. Now, someone who says, I've not sinned, you are so wrong, and you're certainly no one who can say, I've not sinned, because all you've done is sin. But you can't take this promise to yourself that of the new nature, he that's born of God does not commit sin. You see, it's the new nature that sees the sinfulness of the old nature. If you can't see what I'm talking about, it's because you've never been born again. You've never been given a new heart. You don't understand what sin is in the first place. Because if you did, you'd know that if you did it, it's sin. You'd know that. Chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him. How many people make that claim? I know God. I know him personally. I know him personally. A lot of people make that claim. You make that claim if you're a believer. I know him. I know him. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And there's no truth in him. He doesn't have any credibility at all. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. Now, notice it doesn't say he doesn't admire his commandments or know what his commandments are. It says this man who knows him must keep his commandments. Well, is that talking about the Ten Commandments? Well, yes, I had kept them. You see, I don't try to keep the law. I've kept the law. When Christ kept the law, I kept the law. And somebody says, well, I'm trying to keep them. No, you're not. Don't say that. Don't even say that. That's hypocrisy. Because you've not kept in yourself one commandment one time. But you can say, yes, I've kept the commandments. Because Christ kept the commandments. But I don't really believe that that's what he's talking about. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23. See if you've kept this commandment. You personally. Don't think about anything. Don't wonder if the person beside you has kept it. Think about yourself right now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, this is his commandment, that we should believe. And that word believe is not just a cognitive acknowledgement of this is true. It has within it rely upon. Rely upon. See, in faith, there is an actual reliance. And believe what? Believe that you're saved? Believe that God's done something for you? Believe that Christ died for you? Believe that you're one of the elect? Believe that you've been born again? No, we're to believe on the name of His Son. Now, His name is who He is. When I believe on His name, I'm relying on His power to save me. I'm relying on Him to do something for me that I can't do for myself. I'm relying on His justice to save me. To save me in a way that honors His justice through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm relying on His love to save me. It's a saving love. I'm relying on His wisdom to save me. A way, all of His attributes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, save me as an act of Your sovereign will. Will my salvation. Save me by Your justice. Save me by Your holiness. Save me by Your power. I'm calling upon all of His attributes. Lord, save me. Now, what is it to believe on His name? Same thing the thief did. Lord, he knew who he was, didn't he? One thing I'm sure about that thief, he knew who the Lord was. He saw Him hanging on the tree, and he knew He was the Lord. He saw Him hanging there and he said, you're not going to stay dead. You're not going to stay here. You're going to come back as a mighty reigning king. You can't stay dead. You must be victorious. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now that's what it means to obey this command. You believe on the name of His Son. You really believe that the only way you'll be in heaven is for His namesake. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I love that passage in Psalm 106, verse 6. We've sinned. We've done wickedly. We've committed iniquity. Our fathers understood not thy wonders. They remembered not His mercies, but provoked Him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. But nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake. Not because of anything they did. He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power known. Do you believe on His name? Do you love everybody who loves Him? Now you can answer that. Somebody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, do you love that person? He that loveth Him that begat, loveth him also that's begotten of Him. That's a commandment you obey. You really do love those who love Him. And then in verse 9 of chapter 2, he that saith he's in the light, I understand the doctrine of justification, I understand the gospel. He that saith he's in the light, I understand how God can be just and justify the ungodly. That's a good thing to understand. But he that saith he's in the light and he hates his brother, he's in darkness. He's not light. What he says he knows nothing of, doesn't really understand. What he says he believes hasn't done a thing for him. He's in darkness even until now. Well, what's it mean to... what's it mean to hate your brother? What it means to not love him? That's what it means. It means to not love him. Now, I want to say this. You know, you can not like somebody and love them. Did you know that? You can really not like somebody and yet love them. Love them dearly. What does it mean when you love someone? Well, you want them to have the same thing you have. You want them to have Christ. You want them to have salvation. You want them to have the mercy of God. You want them to have what you have. All that you have in Christ Jesus. If you love somebody, you want that for them. Even if you don't like them. Now, it'd be better if You could like everybody, but that's not going to happen. If you're around me, you'll find out why that can't happen. But everybody who really walks in the light loves his brother. And finally, chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and we've already talked about what that means, I do love God. I love Him as He is. I love Him as He's revealed in His Word. I do love Him. But if a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? It can't be. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Now, does brother mean every man? Well, I guess it could. I guess it could. I mean, we ought to love every man, shouldn't we? Isn't that so? We ought to love everybody. But the brother he's talking about is one of the many brethren. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, we love the brethren. And if we don't, we don't love God. Now, you remember what the Lord said. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And inasmuch as you've done it not to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it not unto me. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We don't do the truth. If we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. His word doesn't dwell in us. If we say we know him and fail to love our brother, we don't know him. If we say we're in the light, all these, the point is, it's one thing to say something, and it's another thing for it to be. May the Lord enable everybody in this room to say from the very depths of their heart, through the gospel, I have fellowship with God. I have sinned. I've sinned. But I know him. I'm in the light. And I love him. And I love my brother. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that salvation is utterly and entirely for Christ's sake. How we thank you for him. How we thank you for the salvation that's in him. How we thank you for making us your adopted children. How we thank you for giving us the nature of your children in the new birth. How we thank you for redeeming us and calling us by your grace. Lord, accept our thanksgiving for Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. And cleanse us from our sins for Christ's sake. Lord, we ask that you would order our steps in your word and let not any iniquity have dominion over us. And Lord, give us the grace to truly love one another that comes from a love to you. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing the hymn in number 37 of our spiral book. Number 37, Approach My Soul, the Throne of Grace. If you could please stand. Number 37.
Lord's my soul, the throne of grace in every time of need. There's mercy for the needy one who Jesus' name shall plead. Though I'm a weak and sinful wretch, I will approach the throne. I'll lean upon Christ's mighty arm and plead His blood alone. The blood, the precious blood of Christ, has opened up the way by which I can draw near to God and to my Father pray. Though Satan tempts my heart to sin, I'll call upon my God. And if I fall, He'll lift me up and cleanse me in the blood. The way is open, God will hear my groans and cries of grief. Nothing can keep me from His throne but my unbelief. O Lord, my unbelief remove and turn my heart by grace. Compel me to approach Your throne and there spread out my case.